9:35 here on the Chad Hastie Show. News Talk 790 KFYO. We'll put local politics to the side just for a little bit. We'll bring that back up in the next hour of the program, because remember, no topic ever dies. You can call in, sound off on anything that we talk about throughout the program. But right now we get to talk a little Texas politics with the co-founder of MustReadTexas.com and GOP strategist Matt Mikowiak. Matt, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Chad. Doing great. How about you?
Doing fantastic. Thanks for giving us a shout this morning. There's a lot of Texas political news out there. Let's go back to last week, and Lieutenant Governor David Dewhurst made some headlines when the phone call came out from the Allen Police Department. Dewhurst calling the Allen Police Department to what, get his step niece? Is that it? I guess I don't know. Step something out of jail. He did not break any laws or anything, but how does this play for Dewhurst?
Yeah, I mean, you know, Lieutenant Governor Dewhurst is battling perceptions every day, and has been every day since he lost the primary runoff to now U.S. Senator Ted Cruz. And so, look, politically, I think you can't be honest about this and say the Lieutenant Governor Dewhurst is not in a weak position in the Republican primary. And how do you know that? There are three strong Republican candidates challenging him. If you're a strong incumbent, you don't get challenged in the primary. This case in particular, to me, really just in a way looks like bad judgment. It looks like perhaps someone who cares a lot about his family and wanted to help. But, you know, if you listen to the recording, you know, he's really trying to use his influence, I think, in a way that the average citizen probably couldn't or wouldn't. So I just think this is another sort of chink in the armor for Dewhurst. And while I would also say that the three candidates, Todd Staples, Dan Patrick, and Jerry Patterson, who are challenging Dewhurst, are nowhere near as strong as Ted Cruz, you know, the same challenge Dewhurst faced last year exists again, and that is, you know, if he doesn't win this without a runoff, he's very vulnerable in a runoff, and we saw that last time, and I think that's true again.
Yeah, and I mean, things are going to start getting heated up after Labor Day, obviously. But what do the other candidates have to do in order to separate themselves? Because they're all going to run as more conservative than Dewhurst. But when you have three of them saying that versus Dewhurst, who he's going to come out and say that he's conservative, even though that argument didn't work out last time, how do they separate themselves from each other and from Dewhurst?
Yeah, this is honestly a fascinating race because, first of all three of those candidates endorsed Dewhurst over Cruz.
Yeah.
Kind of a quirky thing, but they all did. Patrick says he didn't, but he did on Facebook and then deleted it, and famously defended Dewhurst on an interview on his radio show with Cruz for an hour. So that's number one. I think that's sort of an interesting development. But you know, the interesting thing here is they're all going to attack Dewhurst, and they have already started. But the question is, when do they start turning on each other? And, you know, sometimes in these multi-candidate fields, you have a situation where it's essentially, politically speaking, a murder-suicide. You know, one candidate tries to destroy the other, and in doing so, destroys himself and helps the candidate that's watching it all. So, you know, it's going to be very interesting to see to me, I think that Patterson and Patrick both have a lot of overlap in terms of support. And so I could foresee that those two candidates perhaps mixing it up. But look, what's interesting here is all four of these candidates, particularly the three challengers, all have a base. Todd Staples has an ag base and an East Texas base and some strength in South Texas. Patterson has a lot of strength among Second Amendment, strong Second Amendment voters, and he's a veteran. And Dan Patrick is a state senator in the most populous county in our state, Harris County, and has a lot of strength in Harris County, as well as among conservative activists. So each of those three feel like they have a case to make. They have a constituency. They can get in the runoff. Dewhurst, meanwhile, just has the ability to self-fund and has a record to run on, which is both good and bad.
Yeah, it's going to be a definitely an interesting race to watch going forward. It'll start heating up after Labor Day. Let's talk about Ted Cruz and John Cornyn a little bit. It was a little bit of news from the Texas press last week that Cruz would not endorse John Cornyn. Now, Cruz's PAC has given the Cornyn camp $2,500. There was a $2,500 donation. So in a way, I guess there's financially backing, but just Ted Cruz isn't coming out and endorsing anyone. Is this a slap in the face to Cornyn, or is this a smart move by Cruz?
Probably both. You know, there's two things about that. I mean, one is, are you going to endorse Cornyn, yes or no? And he said basically no when he was asked about it by a Dallas Morning News reporter in New Hampshire on Friday. But the second question is, you know, he was asked, you know, about that question, and the way he answered it was, he said he's likely not going to endorse for or against any Senate Republican incumbent.
Right.
And so what's interesting about that is that also, at least the way I read it, is it means he's not going to endorse against John Cornyn if it's a primary challenger. And to me, that's almost more important than if he were to endorse Cornyn directly. But it also means that he's not going to play in races like Kentucky Senate, where the Senate Republican leader is facing a primary, or South Carolina, where Lindsey Graham is facing a primary, or other states. He's going to focus on open seats. So, look, Cornyn is in a very strong position. I know that there's grumbling on the right sometimes. He had the second most conservative voting record, according to National Journal, last year before Cruz got there. I believe he's only broken with Cruz on two votes since they both have been in the U.S. Senate. There's always going to be some grumbling, but Cornyn has an enormous amount of money raised. He has a good record. He is a conservative, and we haven't seen any strong candidates step forward on the Republican or the Democratic side.
Yeah, man, and I think that's something that's very key. That no one has stepped up yet. No one has even, made a hint about Ryan.
Yeah,
no one seriously.
Yeah. Right. I mean, to contrast that, it's two things. One, you know, there was a little bit of chatter about Louie Gohmert, but Congressman Louie Gohmert has said he's not running. He said that even before the chatter started to come out. But contrast Cornyn with Dewhurst. Cornyn is, you know, some folks say he's vulnerable. I don't believe he is. No one has stepped forward on either side. Meanwhile, Dewhurst has three strong, you know, candidates, each of whom has over $1 million, two of whom are statewide elected officials, all of whom are giving up their current office.
Right.
To challenge him. So, you know, I think Dewhurst is clearly a lot more vulnerable than Cornyn. I don't know that that's a bold statement, but my point is that I just think that this idea that Cornyn is vulnerable is probably not based in reality.
How much help did Greg Abbott, I don't know if he needed any help, but did Greg Abbott get when the Department of Justice announced last week, hey, we're coming after voter ID?
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, I continue to be puzzled as to the issues that Democrats in Texas choose to focus on. You know, the pro-life issue is at least a 60% issue in Texas, particularly the late-term abortion one. And voter ID, I believe, is an 80% issue nationally. And that's been proven in polling. So, you know, they continue to fight Texas. They're obviously scared to death of this voter ID proposal hurting them. I do think that there's probably ways that the state could have fashioned the bill in a way where you could have minimized criticism. But ultimately, this is about protecting the integrity of the vote, and the voter ID bills have been upheld in the Supreme Court in the past. They were upheld in Indiana, I think, a few years ago. I do think this is likely to go to the Supreme Court eventually. So we'll see where it goes, but it's a great issue for Abbott, and it's a great issue. You know, I think it's a helpful piece of legislation in Texas because the merits of it, I think, actually are entirely defensible if you sort of take the politics out of it.
We have been visiting with Matt Mikowiak, GOP strategist, also co-founder of MustReadTexas.com. Matt, what can folks find today, and what are you working on throughout the week for Must Read Texas?
Yeah, I mean, we're in the political season now. A lot of news about Ted Cruz. I was with him on Thursday night in Waco for a benefit for West, the victims of the explosion in West. And so there's a lot of attention on him. He was in New Hampshire on Friday, and that got a lot of attention. Governor Rick Perry is in South Carolina, Missouri, and Florida this week, so he's ramping up his national travel. And as you said, all these campaigns are starting to really ramp up, ready for the post Labor Day period, which I think will be busy. So a lot of news out there. People can sign up for the morning newsletter at MustReadTexas.com.
Absolutely, Matt Mikowiak. Thanks for your time. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Chad. Take
Have
care.
A good one.